From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Minnesota has won a federal grant to reduce mercury exposure for women and children living along Lake Superior's North Shore. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has awarded the Minnesota Department of Health a $1.4 million Great Lakes Restoration Initiative grant. The Grand Portage Chippewa Tribe and the Sawtooth Mountain Clinics in Grand Portage and Grand Marais will participate in the project. Excessive blood mercury levels have been documented in infants in the Lake Superior area. The money will be used to improve health screening and develop more effective fish consumption advisories. The EPA Regional Administrator, Susan Hedman, says mercury contamination leaves many Great Lakes fish unsafe to eat. Hedman says the project will help women make choices to minimize their exposure to mercury, but maximize the health benefits of eating fish. Two public meetings organized by the Minnesota Department of Health are scheduled for women of childbearing age who eat locally caught fish. On Monday, October 8th, a guided discussion will be held in Grand Portage at the Log Community Building beginning at 5 p.m. The following evening, Tuesday, October 9th, a similar discussion will be held in Grand Marais at the First Congregational Church, also beginning at 5 p.m. Comments on rules simplifying trout regulations on North Shore streams and other fishing regulation matters are being sought by the Minnesota DNR. Regulation changes include simplifying trout regulations on the North Shore and adopting commercial fishing rules that originated in the 2006 Lake Superior Management Plan. DNR is also considering adding or modifying fishing closures on the Lester and Knife Rivers. Comments can be emailed to the DNR. Complete details are available on their website. The level of Lake Superior went down 4 inches in September, a month the lake usually drops only 1 inch, as continued dry, warm weather saps the Great Lakes of water. The International Lake Superior Board of Control reported last week that Lake Superior now sits 15 inches below its long-term average for October 1st and 4 inches below the level at this time last year. The Duluth News Tribune notes that rainfall for the entire Lake Superior Basin was well below normal in September, a trend that's continued since July. Minnesota Department of Transportation crews continue working on Highway 61 culverts in the area west of Hovland and east of County Road 69. The culvert project should be completed sometime before the end of the month. It's part of an 8-county resurfacing and culvert replacement project. The work may require temporary lane closures, and drivers are asked to use caution when driving through those work zones. The U.S. Supreme Court this week announced it will not consider an appeal of the so-called roadless rule for national forests, a move that means permanent protection for about 45 million acres of undeveloped public land. The Duluth News Tribune reports the controversial rule was enacted in 2001 under President Clinton and affected about 58 million acres, including 62,000 acres in the Superior National Forest, much of it adjacent to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in both Lake and Cook counties. The rule also covers 69,000 acres in the Shequamock and Nicolet National Forest in northern Wisconsin. The Chippewa National Forest, however, is not affected. The roadless rule prohibits new roads and most logging, but allows motorized recreation such as snowmobiles and ATVs. It also allows mining, and some tree cutting is allowed for fire prevention efforts. A Forest Service spokeswoman for the Shequamock and Nicolet National Forest said the ruling does not change how national forest lands are currently being managed, only that, quote, it appears that this means it's now permanent. The roadless rule was enacted late in the Clinton administration, then was untracked by the Bush administration before ending up in the courts. State officials have asked the Minnesota Court of Appeals to reject an attempt by animal welfare groups to block the resumption of wolf hunting in the state. Attorneys representing the Department of Natural Resources say the lawsuit by the Center for Biological Diversity and Howling for Wolves is without legal merit. The lawsuit contends the DNR did not allow for adequate public comment before it issued regulations for the state's first wolf season since the animals came off the endangered list. It seeks a preliminary injunction to stop the season from opening November 3rd. But attorneys for the DNR counter that the agency received extensive public comments and that fears the hunt will harm the state's wolf population are unfounded. Meetings will be held in four communities on Monday, November 5th, within our region, where U.S. Postal Service officials will be discussing major cuts in window services for local postal patrons. Letters have gone out to mail patrons in Hovland, Tofte, Finland, and Beaver Bay advising them of the meetings. Included in the mailing is a survey that asks for people's opinions on four potential post office changes. Keeping the same window service hours of operation is not one of those options. According to the Postal Service, currently Saturday window service hours would not be changed, and access to post office boxes would not be affected. Meetings will be held at 5 p.m. November 5th at the Hovland Town Hall for Hovland patrons and at the Beaver Bay Community Center for Beaver Bay residents. Meetings will be held at 7 p.m. at the Tofte Fire Hall for Tofte patrons and at the Claire Nelson Center in Finland for Finland residents. Postal patrons are asked to return their surveys no later than the 22nd of this month, so the results can be shared at the community meetings. The first option offered by the Postal Service is to keep the office open but with reduced window services. For example, the Hovland Post Office will be cut from 8 hours each weekday to 4. The cutback would not involve Saturday window services. The second option is for rural delivery. A third option would be finding a suitable alternative location at a local business. And the fourth option is to close the post office and relocate P.O. Box service to a nearby post office. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.